thought everything was done. I thought I believed I was saved. That's it, right? They thought it was done. And then to find out there was more to it is annoying. Just like the Pharisees. You know, you mean we got to repent now? We've been scrupulously following the law. And so have Christians scrupulously followed the letter of the New Testament while missing the spirit of the New Testament. They become New Testament legalists. New Testament legalists. You know what the legalism of the New Testament is? It's to go to Romans chapter 10. The legalism of the New Testament, you can find in things like Romans 10 verse 9. Here's their legalism. The letter of the law. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And what's the legalistic interpretation? Well, when you do those things, instantly, you're saved, and that does it. That's it. That's legalism. I tell you, because there's more to the gospel than just that. Paul never intended that you should pluck this verse out of its context. And to say to people, that's all you need. That's it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole kit and caboodle. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. That's it. Legalism. The letter kills. And that verse kills people. It kills them because it teaches them that they're complete in Christ and they haven't finished the works. They haven't finished the works. And this, what are you saying, Paul? That works are necessary for salvation? I'm saying salvation is a work. And if it's not completed, you're going to wind up on judgment day standing naked before God. And he's going to say to you, why don't you have a wedding garment on? How come you haven't done what you're supposed to do? And you come to me and say, I'm your son. I don't know who you are. You worker of iniquity. You committer of sin. You servant of unrighteousness. I don't know you. Because grace is what is required for salvation. The grace of God which bringeth salvation teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Well, how do we do that? By faith. Faith is not somehow losing its central position, but faith causes other things to happen. And if you just isolate one little thought and say that's salvation and preach that as the gospel, verse 9 of Romans 10 is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. It is the idea of faith. Yeah, is it true? Of course it's true. If you believe, you will be saved. But he doesn't tell you the rest of the thing, which is if you believe, it's going to make a lot more things happen than you be saved. And on the way to salvation, there's a lot of works. But you understand, people stumble at the word. They stumble at the word because God has not given it to them to understand the word. So they find a verse, and then their legalistic mind wants to find a shortcut. I don't want to grow up into Christ. I just want to do one or two little things and then have that be it. I'm done. Now my religion is finished. I can go on with my life. You know, it's the quickest way to fill up a church. You know, let's just have them believe, preach the gospel like this, give them a good message they like to hear, tickle their itching ears. It's the same spirit, the spirit of legalism. God's grace is ultimately what saves us. When he is gracious towards us, because that's where we get faith. We get faith because God was gracious enough to us. One, to preach the gospel to us. Two, to make our ears receptive to such a message. Because not all men can receive it. Not all men are going to like it. Some people are going to say, I'm fine the way I am. Why do you push me in another direction? Why do you push me towards repentance? Why should I turn from my ways when I already have everything I want? I believe, I'm saved, that's it. Or I'm righteous according to my own doctrine of the Old Testament. I have the law, the letter of the law. I'm fulfilling it. Or, hey man, who are you to judge me, man? I'm not a sinner, man. Or, you call it sin, but it's like, man, I'm just living. And it's people who recognize their need that Jesus came. You have to have a feeling of you want something different. You have to have a feeling of I want to change. The call goes out. Repent. Who can hear the call? That's what Jesus went to sinners to do. Because those people were ready to hear him. The Pharisees were not ready. In this generation, who's ready to hear him? Who's ready to hear the gospel? Who's ready to turn their lives around? Who's ready to turn from wickedness and sin and iniquity to righteousness, holiness, and godliness? Who's ready? To whatever generation it comes. It comes as it is intended. And I don't know who's going to hear in this generation, but the word of God has to go forth that they may hear. Verse 18, and the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, or else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. It's a very simple analogy of the ministry of John the Baptist and the Pharisees. Jesus could not insert his ministry into their ministries. He would not insert his followers into their followers. And this goes true even to this day, that the preaching of the gospel that God has given to his servants in this generation cannot be inserted into denominations. It cannot be inserted into movements that already exist. It cannot be inserted into those things. Because those things were built up in their own time and in their own way. And the nature of the new ministry is different enough that, like a piece of new cloth being put in an old garment, the new cloth will change and so on and so forth with time and pull away from the old. And they can't be joined together. Same thing with wine bottles. The new wine bottles, the new wine skins, really, are supple and able to expand as the action of the fermentation causes the wine to cause the bottle to expand. An old bottle, you put it into the old wine skins, which have already expanded to their maximum and are filled, so to speak, with air. But what I mean is, like, they're in their filled state because they harden and stuff. When you put the new wine in it, it'll fill up and hold a lot, but it'll explode because the fermentation process will cause pressures to come to bear, which will not allow for new wine to be put into old wineskins. Very simple. Same thing with the ministry. The gospel that is being preached will not fit in with Lutheranism. It will not fit in with the old ways of Catholicism and of, you know, and of also the evangelical movement or the Pentecostals or any of those, because they all have their little leaven and they have hardness and they're fixed in their ways and they really can't move with what's coming. They can't move with the preachers of the gospel of this generation that are coming.